You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers Wednesday evening edition. The schedule got changed up this week. Was going to do the mailbag Tuesday. Had Nick on for Tuesday. We put that out a day early with the Winky action. So today we are rocking with your mailbag. Today is all about your questions. What's on your mind? At BD Peacock on Twitter is where you can find me. Some emails as well. Locked On 49ers at Gmail. A ton going on this offseason to get into with the 49ers. So I'm sure these mailbags will be hot all off season long when it comes to searching for potentially a defensive coordinator if Robert Saleh does get a head coaching gig as expected. NFL draft will be nonstop all the way through April and beyond, and then breaking down who the 49ers do select in the 2021 draft, currently holding on to the 12th pick in round one. Will they even select there? Probably not, knowing John Lynch. And of course, free agency and a ton of questions there with both the 49ers' own free agents that could potentially leave, who to spend money on, and are there any free agents outside the organization to bring in? So the NFL never sleeps. We will be coming at you daily here, continuing on through the offseason on Locked On 49ers. If you want NFL coverage, check out the Peacock and Williamson NFL show. Myself with co-host Matt Williamson, former NFL scout and college scout, and wrote for ESPN. He's at the ProFootballNetwork.com now. And we cover the NFL daily right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. But right now it's time to get into your questions. What's on your mind surrounding the San Francisco 49ers heading into the 2021 offseason? Keeping track of some of the GM and head coaching jobs around the league, and there's a lot of jobs and a lot of potential assistance the 49ers could lose this offseason. One of those is no longer available, so Adam Peters will not be leaving the 49ers, or Martin Mayhew for that matter, leaving the 49ers front office to join the Houston Texans. The Texans have hired former Patriots executive Nick Caserio to be their GM, and as far as confirmed and rumored head coach interviews, it doesn't seem like the Houston Texans are impressed with what the 49ers are doing because Robert Saleh is not on that list so far. That doesn't mean they could potentially interview him, but I'm not seeing him on the list of potential interviews for the Houston Texans. It seems like they've already been this route with Bill O'Brien. Seems like they still want to be Patriots South hiring their GM, so let's see if their head coach search goes better for them this time than it did last time. But having an actual GM will probably be much beneficial to the Houston Texans. So it's still the Lions, Falcons, and Jaguars looking like the main teams that are eyeing Robert Saleh at this point. And I think he's interviewed at least already with two of them this week. Here's an interesting name that could rejoin the 49ers staff. Former Niners quarterbacks coach Rick Scangarello. His contract expired with the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles will let that contract expire and not bring him back. So Rich Scangarello could potentially be someone that could rejoin the 49ers in his old role, maybe as quarterback coach. But looking at potential assistants leaving, let's say Matt LaFleur is the Green Bay Packers head coach. Mike LaFleur is the pass game coordinator with the 49ers. And it's rumored that Mike LaFleur could be the one that leaves with Robert Saleh if Saleh gets a head coaching job and becomes the offensive coordinator for him. Maybe that pass game coordinator job would be open for someone like Rick Scangarello to come back to the 49ers potentially. I don't know. Interesting there that he's available. I would assume he'd be somebody on the list to come back and rejoin the 49ers. And the Niners quarterbacks did have some success under Rich. And in fact, they didn't really improve much after Rich Scangarello left to become the offensive coordinator with the Denver Broncos, and then senior offensive assistant, I think was his title, with the Eagles this last year. So very interesting there, potentially for the 49ers, if he's someone, or maybe they have an idea of someone in-house that they want to promote, or who knows. But Rick Scangarello, a free agent coach now. All right, let's get this mailbag going. An email from Andy. He says, what do players do when they're on IR, and what can they do in the offseason? Can they participate in any team activities? Work with coaches. I'll feel better about Jimmy going into next season if he was able to stay on top of the mental side of the game while he was out this year. Thanks. Love the pod. Thank you, Andy. I appreciate the email and the love. They can do whatever they want. They're with the teams. I mean, there's times when the teams can get together, and there's times when they're not allowed to expect players to be at the facility, but actually injured players can be at the facility more often because they can rehab and do some of those things. So a lot of times players that are hurt will be around more often because they have things to work on, and the team can't have players who aren't rehabbing at the facility. That's the way I understand it. And as far as team activities goes, I mean, we might have another offseason with very minimal, especially in the spring with OTAs and mini camps and things like that. We might have another offseason where it's only the mental side of things that are being discussed and being worked on virtually, and the team is not actually practicing on the field again. So, which contributed obviously to more injuries. But I don't think there's any worry about 49ers players not working hard or not being there with the mental side of things or not getting the work in that they need. I don't think that's really a problem at all for any 49ers players, including Jimmy Garoppolo. But it would be nice and would probably benefit the team and every team around the league if they were able to practice and have mini camps and OTAs and get some things together and do some workouts on the field. Hopefully that is something that can happen this offseason, and at the very least by training camp, have a full training camp with preseason games and at least a couple of preseason games where guys can work out the kinks. And as Kyle Shanahan talked about earlier this week, talking about players getting hurt, and actually I have the audio here. Let's hear Kyle Shanahan talking about players getting hurt and a lot of the reasons why guys get hurt, because players always get hurt early in training camp and guys have little dings. And this season, they had to really just force everything into the season, didn't allow players to go through the normal process of getting their bodies ready.
We didn't do one thing throughout the offseason. And then we went to basically a 2-week training camp because there was 14 days where we did not practice. We just walked through and talked. And then when we did have that 14-day training camp, because it was only 14 days, some guys were on PUP, some guys had a tweak within the first 4 days, like usually happens, and you shut them down. Now half the guys only got 4 days of training camp, and you're trying to get them ready for an NFL game that's a week later. So do you keep going through training camp, or do you shut them down and get them ready for that game? You probably shut them down and get them ready for that game, which means they're going to get hurt eventually because they're not ready to play. That's a fact. That's what the whole league had to deal with. That's why the whole league got hurt. We had more than the whole league. So it can't just be that, but it's also not just because John missed going to church a couple times. That's why we don't have a good answer. But that's why I promise you we do everything we can to make it better in every area.
So there you go. The coach explained it a lot better than I could. And yeah, it's not good for anybody if the team can't get together and practice. It's not good for the product on the field. It's not good for the health of the players. And practice times, you know, mandatory practices and OTAs and mini camps are already at a minimum around the league as it is during the offseason. So with COVID on top of it, really just hurts the product on the field and hurts the player's ability to stay healthy. So, man, yeah, let's get these vaccines out there. And hopefully in the summer, the early summer post maybe rookie mini camps after the draft, can we maybe start getting some teams together on the field and getting guys practicing and getting players' bodies ready to play football, because it's not a natural thing to be out there playing football. And you can't just roll into the season with no practices and be like, I'm good and I'm going to play 16 healthy games, 17 healthy games now. Ooh, here we go. We got some good suggestions for who could play Alex Smith in the no doubt upcoming movie that is in the works, I'm sure, with some movie studio to tell the story of Alex Smith's comeback this year and his run maybe in the playoffs. We'll see how long that run lasts if it does get past this weekend. So those suggestions coming up, a whole bunch of good questions about your San Francisco 49ers next. This episode is brought to you by 1010. Now, you may have read about this in the New York Times or Forbes, and we're excited to tell you about it. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful commitment ring launching exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com. And when they're gone, they're gone. We all know that the diamond engagement ring is iconic. It's a timeless expression of the deepest commitment between two people. And with 1010, it's been beautifully re-envisioned in the hands of 10 modern designers working exclusively with sustainably sourced diamonds. If you're making 2021 plans or looking for a unique and meaningful way to celebrate Valentine's Day, you're definitely going to want to check this out. Again, this exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launches on January 18th, and you can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com. So if you listened to yesterday's podcast with Nick Winkler, we talked about the Alex Smith movie, who would play Alex Smith. And my suggestion was Ryan Gosling. I think he's about, I think he's older actually than Alex Smith, although you know how it goes in Hollywood. They always seem a lot younger than they are, but I think he could maybe play some young Alex Smith. Definitely could nail the current Alex Smith, but we got some more suggestions here on who could play who. From Melanchthon89, he says, so I listened to your Winky Tuesday, and I have an idea for your Alex Smith actor, Zac Efron. Okay, Zac Efron, pretty ripped. I don't know if he's tall enough. That's another problem when you're playing a football player. A lot of these actors are on the shorter side, and Alex Smith's 6'4", so that might be a little bit difficult. He's definitely ripped, though. Bradley Cooper as Alex Smith. Okay, I like that. Maybe also a little old. But good submission there by Craig. Bradley Cooper, I could see that. Especially the older Alex Smith. Maybe even a flash-forward Alex Smith. Tom Hardy, this is from Truth Be Told. Tom, he's got three suggestions. One, Tom Hardy, a little older, but has the toughness and still enough youth to pull it off. Nicholas Holt? I don't know who Nicholas Holt is. Who is that? Let me look that up real quick. Probably best fit overall, but loses points for lesser popularity. Yeah, definitely lesser popularity with me. Oh, yeah, I've seen this guy. What was he in? He's an English actor. See if he can nail the California accent for Alex Smith. And Will Poulter. Okay, so another English actor. So I have a feeling I know where this tweet is coming from, what part of the world this tweet is coming from. Although there's a lot of good English actors that play American characters and pull it off quite well. So there's some suggestions. I thought I saved the tweet. Somebody said that Frank Gore looks the same as he did in 2005, so he could definitely play himself. And that's a great point. Frank Gore is somewhat ageless. And I'm not going to tell Frank Gore he can't do anything, because as we know, Frank Gore can do whatever he wants to do, as can Alex Smith, apparently. Okay, let's get into the nitty-gritty. David has a draft question. He says, would you give up the number 12 pick for Miami's Tua? No, David, I would not. I would offer the 49ers' second-round pick for Tua. I think number 12 is too rich. I think you just go back in the draft and draft your own quarterback. Maybe after a trade down, you could do something like that. Late first, early second, I think, is probably the value you'd be looking for a team moving away from their quarterback early. The Cardinals got a second for Rosen. I think that was the proper market value there. Maybe a little higher, two or a late one for Tua, but that's about as rich as I would go. I wouldn't give up the number 12 pick to Miami for Tua, and because they're telling you something. They're telling you at least they didn't see enough of something over the course of the year that they had him in-house, that they think he's going to be the guy, that they believe someone else that's a top five pick who's probably rated just about the same as Tua was, or maybe even lower than a lot of people had Tua coming into the 2020 draft, and they would rather select that other quarterback. I think that would be at least telling enough for me to say, nah, we'll offer you the second round pick, and that would even take me to go back and watch a little bit more Tua tape this year just to double check, because right now I'm not even that comfortable giving up a second rounder for guys like Tua and Sam Darnold if the Jets and Miami Dolphins wanted to move on. I think getting a veteran quarterback via trade, even Matthew Stafford, I wouldn't want to give up that number 12 pick. I feel like if you're not going to draft your own guy and develop your own guy, you don't want to give up too much value. You want to be getting a discount on the veteran quarterback market when it comes to trade. In my opinion, if you're giving up draft picks for a veteran player, you need to be getting a value there versus giving up your top pick. There's too much you could gain from nailing your own top pick for a guy that a team's ready to move on from. Let's go to my guy Kruger. He says, since the Niners are certain to lose some guys due to the salary cap, shouldn't we root for some combo of Tart, Sherman, Witherspoon, or others to sign with Robert Saleh, get a nice contract, and enjoy a successful season since that brings quality compensatory picks? That's a good point. Some comp picks should be coming to the 49ers, at least if they lose a bunch of free agents. This will be an odd free agent year. I would imagine Sherman gets, even if it's a shorter term deal, gets enough money to be in the compensatory pick formula. I don't know how much money someone like Jaquaski Tartt's going to get on the free agent market, or Akella Witherspoon, if they would get a big enough deal to net the 49ers a future comp pick. So the Niners this year, and the picks haven't been officially announced by the league, but there's a lot of smart people out there that are really good at reverse engineering the formula and pretty much have it nailed down. So it looks like the 49ers probably will get a pick at the end of the fifth round for Emmanuel Sanders. And he signed a nice little deal, 3 years, $8 million per, right? Similar deal to what Jimmy Ward got I don't think Tart will get as much as Ward got last year at safety, and safeties tend to get paid a little bit less. So, you know, fifth rounder at the most, maybe a sixth or seventh round comp pick for Tart. Sherman might be able to get you a fourth or a fifth round comp pick. We'll see what kind of money he gets. I mean, a big time corner might get you a third round comp pick, which is the highest level of comp picks. Will he get high value per year, but a shorter contract? Maybe get a higher one. So if I had to guess, something like a fourth ish for Sherman, maybe a sixth or seventh round comp pick for Tart, and probably a Kelly Witherspoon won't get big enough deal for the Niners to get a compensatory pick for it. But no, that's a good point. And you know, other players like Trent Williams will get big money. So if he did leave, that would be a third round comp pick in 2022. Jason Verrett could get a nice little contract. Kerry Hyder, maybe. Kaywan Williams. There's a lot of 49ers free agents that if they do lose them, a little, you know, small consolation at this, there might be some 2022 comp picks in their future. Jarvis on Twitter says, "Hey, Brian, in Bill Walsh's first 2 years, the 49ers secondary was trash. So in 1981, Bill Walsh pretty much used their whole draft on solidifying their secondary. Could you see Kyle and John doing this with quarterbacks, say a top guy in the first round and Ritter later?" Absolutely. The Shanahans have already done this. In 2012, when Kyle was his dad's offensive coordinator, they drafted Robert Griffin at number two, and they drafted Kirk Cousins in round four and got two very different quarterbacks. And that's a fantastic strategy. I love that strategy, especially if you go into the draft without Jimmy Garoppolo too. So maybe there's a stopgap guy, draft a guy high, draft another guy later. I love that. I absolutely love that for trying to get better at any position group. Like a couple years ago, the Green Bay Packers drafted three wide receivers. They weren't super early, but they drafted them in rounds like 3, 4, and 5 or something like that, or 4, 5, and 6, 3, 5, and 6, something like that. They drafted three wide receivers in the same draft, and Marquez Valdez-Scantling turned out to be pretty good. And Equanimeous St. Brown is a player I kind of liked, but he ended up not really doing much in the league, and he's still floundering there in Green Bay. And actually, the guy they drafted first, and this is kind of the point, the first one they took, which was, I'm blanking on his name right now, did absolutely nothing in the league. He's no longer on the Packers. So the one you have rated highest isn't always the best player. So double dip. The Niners did that. They tried to double dip at wide receiver a couple years ago. They ended up with Debo, the other wide receiver. Hasn't gotten on the field for them yet. But the more darts you throw at the dartboard, the more likely you are to hit on something. So if you really need one thing bad, and look, quarterback's not something to skimp on. And I think we've seen that with the 49ers. Get better. Get better with your starter. Get better with your backup. You got to put resources into that position and try to draft your long-term starter, because it's so good for your franchise to do that. And that's a good call about that 1981 draft. And that was really important for turning that 49ers defense into a powerhouse. Of course, Ronnie Lott was their first round pick that year. And that was it Carlton Williamson and Eric Wright? Is that what it was? Hold on. Now I'm going to have to look up, make sure I'm not screwing that up. Let's see here. 1981. Yeah. Okay. So Ronnie Lott in the first round, the Hall of Famer. John Hardy, a nose tackle in the second round. Eric Wright, also with their second round pick, a corner out of Missouri. And then Carlton Williamson, another corner out of Pittsburgh, drafted in the third round. So, and another DB, Lynn Thomas, who was only around for a couple years. His career ended in 1982 with the 49ers, another defensive back they drafted in round five that year. So they didn't screw around at all. And it paid off for him. I love that strategy. Absolutely. I mean, obviously, if you're using a lot of picks on one position, that means you're probably not addressing another position of need potentially for the 49ers. And this is one year where I think they might need to do that at defensive back. And I'm not against doing it at quarterback. I'm not against going, say, early day one or day two cornerback and then coming back with another corner or maybe another safety later on, a couple of DBs, because that's a position of need where they're going to need a lot of depth there. And you know, when it comes to quarterback for the 49ers, especially if they don't draft one in the first round, let's say they pass at 12 or one of the top guys isn't there at 12 and they didn't want to trade up, maybe in the second round you draft a Kyle Trask or a Mac Jones, and then you come back in round three, and if someone like Ritter, who is very different than those other quarterbacks, is more dynamic and a better athlete, but maybe a little bit more raw than the other guys, is still on the board, you draft him too, and you coach them both up and let them compete. That's a great strategy. I love that, Jarvis. Okay, more Locked On 49ers mailbag coming up. Seeing some questions here about Jimmy G, some more quarterback draft questions, and some wild projections and scenarios. We'll finish it up strong. Looking over some of the props at betonline.ag. There's some good ones. I think we're going to have to cover some of those later in the week. The playoffs are here. Super excited about all six games this weekend. The national championship, college football game, NBA in full swing for the 2021 season. And BetOnline has you covered for all of the action. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Rams, Seahawks for the third time this season. Bills hosting the Colts. I think the Bills have the most helium going into this tournament right now. If I had to pick a team, I might pick Buffalo. Love the way they're playing. And that's just Saturday. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. I want to go to Steven on Twitter. He says, not how anyone planned it, but I appreciate you guys making this Niners season as interesting as possible. Been listening since Gold Faithful. And you pull through every time, ready for off-season mode, looking forward to 2021 Shadow Class. Thank you very much, Steven. He tagged Bay Area Wink in this. Nick, if you're listening, that one's for you as well. Didn't get to that one yesterday, but I wanted to say thank you for the love to Steven. And yeah, the 2021 Shadow Class will be coming, and it is always a lot of fun. It's always a lot of fun to do those Shadow 49ers draft classes. If you're just tuning in for the first time this off-season, I go through and I do my own evaluations. Scouting department of one, and I draft along with the 49ers. I've been doing it since 2013, and my unbiased opinion is that if my drafts would have happened instead of the real 49ers draft since 2013, the Niners would have an infinitely better roster. And actually, the 49ers would be better if I drafted rounds 1 through 4, and Balky and John Lynch drafted rounds 5 through 7. That would be the ultimate roster if we combined the two, if we joined forces. It's those early picks, man. So it's always a fun exercise. It's a fun learning exercise, and it's fun to put in all the work and scout all the prospects. And that's what makes the offseason so fun, and looking at these players that the 49ers could draft and finding out who they do draft and diving in deep on those prospects. So I'm glad you guys appreciate it. And man, it's been a long time. Recently when I moved, I found an old VHS tape in a box that was the 2004 Shrine game, the East-West Shrine All-Star game that I had recorded and dubbed onto a VHS tape to watch again later and scout prospects for the draft. So that's, I've had the sickness for quite a while when it comes to being a draft nerd. By the way, the star of the 2004 East-West Shrine game, none other than Kyle Shanahan's good buddy, Chris Sims. Wait, 2004 or 2003? It might be 2003, actually. Wow. Oh, no, that was a different tape. That was 2003 Senior Bowl was Chris Sims. The reason that one sticks out to me because there was this really awkward moment on the sideline where the sideline reporter was interviewing him after he came out of the game and like made this weird comment about his pretty blonde hair. It was just this awkward moment that will stick with me forever. I think that was the 2003 Senior Bowl, which I also had a VHS tape of. And that was like when I really was started first getting into the draft. And I was just like VHS taping whatever games in college I could find. And the Senior Bowl is like the mother load as far as prospects. You see so many prospects in the same game that are all in the draft class. And it was a lot more difficult back then to get information too. So you just had to kind of do it yourself. Watch the prospects. And there was like Kuiper and a couple other guys doing it. It's a long time ago. And now it's crazy. 2021? What are we doing? What's going on? 2021. Getting old over here, man. Jeez. Dude, 2020 has aged me at least 5 years. I feel completely different as a human being right now in January of 21 versus January of 2020. No doubt. Like, first of all, worst shape of my life. Gray hair popping up everywhere. Social interactions, that's been a problem. Like, grooming. I've never been much of a groomer anyway, but even let that go, which I was already kind of letting go in the first place. I honestly feel 5 years older than I did last year at this time. I've taken up golf. That's how bored I've become. And then when you realize players like maybe future 49er quarterback Trey Lance, he's going to be the first NFL player ever that was born in the 2000s. It's frightening. People born in the year 2000 are of legal drinking age now. What is going on? All right, I'm going to move on. I don't like thinking about that. Demetrio says, in what crazy scenario do we get Fields? Does he get past Carolina? I only see 3 quarterbacks going in the top 10, and that's if the New York Jets draft a quarterback. That's a tough one, Demetrio, because first of all, Justin Fields might go two, and the Jets might not be willing to trade, period. So it might just be Lawrence one, Fields two, and that's it. There's rumors that the next head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars might be Urban Meyer, and Urban Meyer has a connection to Ohio State, recruited the guy. Maybe Urban Meyer loves Justin Fields. Would they draft him number one overall? Could they work out a trade? This would be a wild scenario. What if the Jets were able to trade up from 2-1 to take Lawrence because Jacksonville wanted to draft Fields and were able to parlay that into trading down just one spot, getting a bunch of picks, and still taking their guy Fields at two if Urban Meyer becomes the next head coach? And then there's rumors that Ryan Day might be the head coach if it's not Urban Meyer. So I don't know what the weird Ohio State connection is with the Jacksonville Jaguars, but those rumors are out there. Who knows if that's the case? But more than likely, it'll be Lawrence one. And then it could be Fields two to the Jets. It could be, and I think it was reported already by, let's see here. Yeah, here it is. Adam Schefter said on Twitter, quote, "Jets are expected to make a big trade this offseason. Whole question is whether they trade quarterback Sam Darnold or the number two pick to a team that intends to draft a quarterback. GM Joe Douglas will be executing some sort of big trade amongst their many moves." That's interesting there. I guess that makes a lot of sense. Like, the pick number two has to be a quarterback. There has to be quarterback value there. It has to be either the value of you drafted your next franchise quarterback and then you trade Darnold for a pick, or the value of let's trade this pick and keep Darnold, develop around him, but we have to trade this for a team that wants to move up and get a quarterback and get a bunch of draft picks for it. Because just standing pat and drafting another player doesn't make sense. I don't think that maximizes it. So I think that makes a lot of sense for Adam Schefter to say that. And I don't think he's speculating. I think he's got too many connections to be just throwing out a speculative tweet like that. So I definitely expect a quarterback to go number two. So it's either the Jets or a team moving up. And that might be the end of Fields right there. But who knows? Maybe it is Zach Wilson that goes second overall. Then Fields is still on the board. Miami, probably not, but then again, another trade-up spot. Atlanta could draft a quarterback, the heir apparent, to sit for a year behind Matt Ryan. Cincinnati, no, but again, a team could be trading up there. Philadelphia, a team could be trading up if they want to go with Jalen Hurts. Detroit could definitely send away their quarterback and draft a quarterback at seven. Carolina could draft a quarterback. So it's really hard to project where the quarterbacks will go. It's almost a guarantee that in the top eight somewhere, there will be three quarterbacks. Could the fourth one fall to the 49ers at 12? It's possible. It's possible. Would the 49ers be willing to sit back and wait? That's the thing. If you know you really want a quarterback, you almost have to move up at that point once the third is off the board. Unless you're really cool with the other guys later and maybe you move down and draft one, or maybe you draft one at 12 and Kyle Shanahan tends to like players that people don't see coming. So who knows? Maybe it's his first round version of CJ Beathard and he really loves Kyle Trask or Matt Jones and wants to draft him at 12, or maybe they move down, or maybe they move up from round two to get their guy, or maybe they want to just sit back at round two. So who knows? There's a lot of questions there. It's really hard to project at this point. And I still have a lot of work to do to really formulate my feelings about them right now. To me, it's clearly Lawrence one, a little bit of a gap, and then it's probably two and three is Fields and Wilson, probably Wilson first, then Fields, and then fourth, and a clear fourth with a big gap after him is Trey Lance. And the only reason Trey Lance is fourth, let's put it this way. If Trey Lance went to Ohio State, he'd be the second, I think, pretty easily, because he has, I like more of what I've seen from him in smaller samples, albeit against worse competition, than Justin Fields. They have a lot of similarities, like height, weight, speed, great arms, make crazy killer throws. But for some reason, I've liked almost as much, and if not more, what I've seen from Zach Wilson and Trey Lance than I have from Justin Fields at times. But, you know, Fields really has the advantage of the last thing you saw was just that awesome performance after him getting hurt in the college football playoff. So we'll see if he can keep that up in the national championship game. But it's just really hard to project right now where they would be. If you want Justin Fields, if you want Zach Wilson, it's pretty clear that you have to trade up. And you might even have to trade up if you want Trey Lance. But Trey Lance is the one that has easily the best shot at this point of falling to the 49ers, just because he didn't play this year, except for that one game. And it's tough because he's so young. He's only a redshirt sophomore that played only 1 year as a redshirt freshman for a full year as a starter, and then had the one game as a sophomore, and then their season got crushed because of COVID. So It's really difficult to project at this point. We'll see who the 49ers end up liking, but it's hard to envision sitting at 12 and getting any of the top three quarterbacks, maybe the fourth, but that still feels somewhat unlikely at this point. The hard part with the draft this year, too, and I'm sure some other prospects are going to grow and some teams will fall in love with guys, and you know, draft Twitter is going to start to really love some of these other prospects, but there's not a lot of hot shot prospects, partially due to the shortened season and the goofy year we had with college football, but the quarterbacks are the hot name. I mean, it could be quarterbacks going 1, 2, 3, 4. There's not a lot of big time. There's no big time pass rushers like Chase Young or the Bosas or anything like that to go really high. There's some good wide receiver prospects, but nobody who's like, you know, 6'4", 230 Calvin Johnson is like, okay, this guy's going to go in the top three. So I wouldn't be shocked at all if the teams that are up there that aren't trying to draft a quarterback want to get out badly. And there should be some teams willing to move up. And then you have at least, what, 4 or 5 teams that really could draft a quarterback in the top 11 in front of the 49ers, and a couple more that maybe could be surprises that draft a quarterback that you didn't expect to do it. So it's early, but it still feels right now like it's going to be a very quarterback heavy top of the draft in 2021. All right, a couple more questions here. I like the ones that put me in the GM seat. This one from Jeffrey says, early mailbag question. You're taking over as GM, but the decision is made to keep Jimmy G and re-sign Williams. I assume that's Trent Williams and not K-1. What positions of need do you tackle in the draft, and which do you hope to fill cheap in free agency? So you keep Jimmy G and you re-sign Trent Williams. What positions of need do you tackle in the draft, and which do you hope to fill cheap in free agency? Well, I'm still going to draft a quarterback in the first round if one of those top four guys is there at 12. I think the Jimmy G scenario for the 49ers is probably the one they'll use. A little bit of a cop-out, but probably a way for them to say, look, we don't have to trade up for a quarterback. If a guy's there, we'll take him. And then there won't be one there at 12. And then it's like, okay, maybe we'll draft one if he's there in the second round. Maybe they'll draft a guy and they have a pretty mediocre backup who doesn't become a starter. Like, that's the scenario that I don't like, is like they just draft a sort of a guy who's, you know, an Andy Dalton-ish backup. And Andy Dalton started for a while, but how much different is Mac Jones going to be than Jimmy Garoppolo anyway, if you drafted him in the second round, for example? So I just want a little bit more upside for my quarterback if I'm going to take one early, and somebody who's maybe a little bit different than Jimmy Garoppolo. But I wouldn't be shocked if that's the route the 49ers go. And if that's the way they go, cornerback. I mean, corner is the one. Like, first of all, depth, they need it, and high-end talent they need. So if it's not quarterback in round one, it's corner for sure. And there's some good cornerback prospects. There's two or three guys that I would really like at 12 that could potentially be there. So for me, that one's pretty easy. Pass rusher, edge rusher is the other one. There's just not a ton of good ones in this draft. If there's not a good, if the corners are gone that you like, and maybe there's a really good edge rusher, you do that, and then you go corner in round two, maybe, and then see if you can draft a quarterback for developmental later. I mean, I don't know. I just feel like quarterback is too important, and they should definitely do one of those in round one if they can, and maybe even trade up for one a little bit. Like, going all the way to 2 or 3 is probably going to be cost prohibitive, especially if you have Jimmy Garoppolo, which makes me feel like they're not going to end up with a quarterback because of that reason, at least a quarterback in round one. Cheap and free agency center, for sure. Like, Alex Mack has to end up a 49er. I don't know if they can, I don't know how much he's going to command. He's 35 years old, but the 49ers need to just solidify the center position. If they can carve out enough room to bring back someone like Jason Verrett at corner, and then maybe draft a cornerback, maybe draft a defensive end on day two that to help be a pass rusher, and then add somebody like Alex Mack, like, that would be the only outside free agent I could really see. Like, and he won't be super expensive, but he'll be enough as a veteran. That's like the most I could see them spending outside the organization on a player. And it's an important position for Kyle Shanahan and the offense. Alex Mack at center just makes too much sense. All right, out of time here. Thanks everybody for your questions. Apologies if I did not get to yours. There were some that I had queued up that I didn't get to, but keep those questions coming to me. I'll be attacking them all season long. I'll do at least one mailbag episode every week, and I'll try to even get some other questions filtered in throughout the week. There's a lot of subjects to hit, so some topics I might turn into entire episodes. I mean, there are a number of different topics that we're going to have to cover here throughout the offseason, free agency, draft, coaching. There's so many questions surrounding the 49ers. It's going to be a fun offseason, and I'll have it all covered for you right here, Locked On 49ers.